CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to a fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today in studio,
hi,
Mr. Brand Hughes.
How you doing?
How's it going, sir?
It's going all right.
Been a while.
It's been a minute.
It's been a hot minute, as they say.
Some people would say that, yeah.
I don't know who says hot minute, but I say
I would say that.
Yeah, you do say hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other phrases that you constantly say? I know a lot of mine already, and I know that they all are part of a drinking game, and I'm aware of each one of them because when you get behind recording enough, you start to realize things.
Mm.
What about you? I know, especially now that you've done like a lot more VO work, you've done right. your little, you know, you've now ventured into the world of podcasting with your bizarre briefings and your
sure
like that.
I mean, I've got filler phrases like, or I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think I really have too many catchphrases. Harambe.
Harambe.
Yeah, I screamed that to the heavens, and that's that's my catchphrase.
What was it? The brushwood thing he did. Hail Minoku. Curse you, gambler.
Sure.
Which I think I forgot what he what I think that was related to the infamous. What was it? That wasn't.
I guess my catchphrase would be like, God, I hate YouTube comments. If you're talking about Bizarre Briefing, that's my catchphrase.
That's more of a life. That's more of a. What are the comments for Bizarre Briefing like on YouTube? I mean,
They're fine.
Okay.
They're early on. There were like people who said,
"What's this? Where are the tricks?
This is so long. I don't watch anything longer than a Vine." And then I was like, "Well, sorry, but
well,
we've
go
got
fuck
all
yourself.
This other stuff."
Well, I'm glad that you've revealed this. May I point you to the Instagram?
Other than that, you know, there are some people.
Do you think the people like that like who even remotely think that I won't watch anything longer than a Vine, like, do you think Instagram's too long for them? Like, where do you think the limit is for that? Like, that audience is like, I only have 10 seconds to watch something, which doesn't mean you can't do something amazing in 10 seconds. Like, there's some really good people that do like amazing vines. Like, I think I've heard the comedian that did a really like did the. He did the What a Fool Believes. He came from somewhere back in the, like with the shampoo, but I forgot the singer, Michael McDowell or something like that.
I'm going to take your word on that, Roberto.
It might have been just like it became a Rooster Teeth thing. It became such a big thing, like an Achievement Hunter, that they would just continually sing that song. And then when GTA 5 came out with What a Fool Believes, they almost believed it was because of all that bullshit. But there's some people that do some really cool thing. You know, you can... You know, if you do it right, you can set up a punchline pretty well in a Vine, you know, because you have 10 seconds to kind of get in, get out, and that. But my question is, where do you think that limit is for the audience that's like, I only watch Vines, and like, I only have 10 seconds? Like, where do you think the highest amount of time they could dedicate to watching bullshit like that?
5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely not enough time to sit through a Bizarre Briefing.
No.
Talking about the production of this product that they probably watch way more often than not, as the analytics probably show.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that's just saying, this isn't fast paced enough. but that's why we have extended outtakes, and those are 3 to 10 minutes, so they can watch this.
Yeah, but those are fun. I mean, those are.
But those are fun.
I'm not saying that
like people actually like watching those.
No, not to say that Bizarre Briefing. what I'm saying is that it's because honestly, I like Bizarre Briefing. I like the idea of having this sort of monthly thing where you it's a safe environment to either vent or to kind of explain things or just talk about the fuck's happening, because there's a lot of, you know, the one thing working on a lot of production stuff that I've learned and now having friends that work on production stuff and being in that world now, there's a lot of things that we can't talk about.
sure.
that are happening in the background. A lot of, you know, a lot of not just like, not because we're under NDA of anything like that. We haven't signed any like formal papers saying don't talk this, but it's like this honor code that we have among, I'd imagine, any production people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's certain things.
And you're also given access to like a lot of privileged
information. We're getting a lot of unfettered access to things. Like, we know about things coming up. Like, I always say as sort of a reference, just because it's already out, like, I knew about, you know, hacking the system for the longest time.
Right.
And that's, you know, I can say that now because we're done, we're behind the scenes, and this could be, you know, be equivalent to what would be on a commentary track if everyone was invited to that kind of thing. Like, I don't feel bad talking about that. But there's so many things that happen, and not just simply like, oh, this is going down, but it's like, this might be going down, and mm-hmm. and this might be changing, or yeah, we're going to do X, Y, or Z, or that. And it's, you know, or we film something, you know, like, I think, like, what was that movie that just came out with the magic people? The
Now You See Me 2?
Right, and that's out, right? I have to double check this. Now You See Me 2's out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the thing attached to?
Yeah.
Okay. Like that video, like the whole like quick thing, whatever. Like I was like, oh, we're filming that today. Cool. I didn't even think about it. Like, you know, what we're doing, and that came, you know, well before the film came out, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, even that's like, oh, cool. That's awesome. We, you know, we have something attached to a film of some sort, you know, that kind of thing, in terms of whatever that is, in terms of promotion or anything like that. But there's a lot of those things that go on. And a lot of times you need sort of a safe place to talk about them, even if they've already happened, or to at least talk about them in vague terms of like, yeah, you know, I think we talked about last week. We can't really talk about it right now, but everything's moving on. It's kind of cool. And you guys will be really excited about it because you... At least me, as sort of both a fan of this stuff and sort of a guy that works on the stuff, you want to talk about it. You're excited. You want to promote it. Not because you're like, oh, I want to be successful. Just like, I really want this to happen. Like, to bring up something that you worked finished up finally, that's on the cinematography channel there on YouTube, youtube.com/cinematography.
Yep. Like, comment, subscribe.
Yep. This video that's up there, this new one where you would, you essentially, compare the
4-page outline,
right,
sort of sketch of Looper, and then the actual film of Looper. The sketch kind of sat in a drawer for a long time and then sort of
how
got
long
reworked
you've been
into a script.
How long have you been working on this video? I want to say at least for I like to say a few months, but I don't know if it's been longer.
A year and a month.
That's
or
what
so?
I thought. I know it was like over. I had a feeling it was over a year. I just couldn't remember because you had came to me with this idea.
I was when I started working on it, not only was I working on my laptop, whereas I've since built a computer since then and started working on that.
Sure.
But also, I lived in a different city.
Okay, yeah.
Because I lived in San Marcos.
Right, exactly.
Started.
Yeah, you had been working on this for a while because you had approached me saying, like, hey, I have this awesome idea for a cinematography video. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, what's this? Like, well, there's this part of Screw Loop or whatever, and you had showed me, like, the bare basics of what it was, like, when it kind of got formulated a bit. I was like, yeah, keep this going. Keep doing this. This is amazing. This would be great. It'd be a perfect follow-up for our last analysis. And that was a year ago.
Yeah.
And you had been steadily working on it as time came through and stuff like that, because it was this long process of not just, like, the voiceover was the easy part.
Sure.
It was, you know, getting everything synced up, analyzing it, sort of breaking it down. I'd imagine the hardest part had to be the finding the maybe that was the easy part, but maybe finding the right scenes to kind of line up with the script itself.
So that actually wasn't too hard. So the whole process kind of came in waves. So like the first wave was doing all of the actual like rereading and lining up a lot of the film to that. And then the next wave was doing the first batch of analysis and then more analysis and more analysis. And it just came in like, every couple months, I'd have a wave of, like, motivation to go work on it
right. And
say, I'm going to finish it this time. I'm going to finish it this time. And then not finish it and get caught up in some other work. The hardest part...
Brian gives you a call. Yo, we need an ad.
Yeah, I mean, Modern Rogue was definitely a big wrench in that system of, oh, I guess I have another show to do now. So I can't really finish this video.
Right.
But the hardest part was definitely figuring out the scope of the analysis.
Yeah.
Because I started working on the analysis, and you can tell once you get past halfway and it gets into the analysis section of the video, there's a point to where I'm basically doing like almost a word by word dissection of the first page.
Yeah.
And once I got done with that first page, that's when one of those waves ended. And when I came back to work on it, I realized this is the work of an insane person.
Yeah.
Because if I have to do a word by word analysis through all of this,
I'm never going
to
get done.
Yeah. It will not finish.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of take a step back and kind of figure out where to draw the line.
Yeah.
So in my mind, you can kind of see where I drew the line on that first page where I talk about, hey, this stuff is actually in the film and this stuff is almost exactly verbatim in the film. But what I didn't go into is the fact that the tenses of the words in there changed, and I could see a version of the video where I go, and these tenses changed, and they changed from this tense to this tense because of these reasons. But that was just over the line for me.
Yeah. Well, because I think you have to, for those kind of analysis, you have to draw the line, only because you start to really get into minutia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more minutia you get into, especially when you start analyzing a script versus what's shot on film, and even with that, it's even different because it's more of this was a short film idea that was written, never made, came back to saying, well, I guess I could expand upon this more. And then how you expand upon that in a script. Like, if you think, I think I've seen the script for, Pulp Fiction, you know, and I'm very familiar with that movie and very familiar with certain opening scenes. And, like, the opening scene for Pulp Fiction, a lot of it's ad-libbed or a lot of it's just kind of cut down because whenever you do a movie, you have sort of two scripts. You have, of course, multiple scripts, but sort of a treatment. There's a broad script, and then there's a shooting script. A shooting script is usually the last version that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that has, takes things like stage directions out maybe and sort of stuff like, you know, scene directions, everything else. But it also sometimes reworks dialogue to be more natural or to be more of the actor. And I imagine with especially Looper, that film, you know, you mentioned in your commentary, your analysis that a lot of what the original script, so I say script meaning like the idea, the short film, had a lot of narrative and sort of a lot of telling, which is the one thing you don't really do in film a lot. You know, when they talk about film, the one, you show, don't tell. Like you have an action that happens. You have something happen on screen. In fact, like one of the ways you can tell if a movie was adapted from a book is how much inner dialogue there is with the character.
Sure.
If there's a lot of inner dialogue, chances are somebody adapted this from a book. Even if you don't know there's a book or not. Like Fight Club, as much as I love that film, is notorious for that. There's a lot of inner dialogue. I mean, it has that, but there's a ton of inner dialogue in that film. I mean, rightfully so. You're here for the character, but, it is adapted from a book. And so when you watch Looper, a lot of it is, nothing's really ever explained about the world. Like, you make the comment that they never really explain time travel. And I think that's always been the advantage of that film, is that they never really go into detail of the science of time travel, because who fucking cares?
Right.
It's
not what it's about.
It's not what it's about, so let's move the fuck on, And then they make a joke of, like, if you start analyzing this, it's just gonna fucking, your head's gonna explode, and, like, who gives a damn? But I like that you showed this sort of short thing. It's just like they're just explaining everything. You have this like, what am I? I'm a looper.
Mm-hmm.
What's a looper? Well, it's this.
Gangs. That's what I am.
And that's what I am. It's like, you don't need to. I mean, you can. You don't like. It's interesting, like that idea. But I imagine, like, coming back to it, it's like, I could have fucking said that in like one fucking sentence.
Yeah, and it's also kind of interesting just to see that, this short sketch was written before any of the movies he had ever made.
Yeah.
Like, this was so long ago that he's coming at it from a totally different point in his career. And, he's progressed as a filmmaker. He's progressed as a writer, these things. So it's just kind of an interesting.
Well, because it's a cool idea. And there's always cool ideas, but sometimes a cool idea, like, requires the right kind of execution, the right kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think about the vastness that is like Star Trek or Star Wars, the universe that is, a lot of cool ideas in those movies, there's a lot of, but if you compare like A New Hope, to something like, you know, the prequels per se. You know, there's stark differences, and some people would say The New Hope obviously better than the prequels, but yet they're both in the same kind of universe, and they both kind of same approach to ideas. If you compare something like even like New Hope and The Force Awakens, you know, there's a lot of similarity ideas, but some, I think some are better executed in Force Awakens as much as I enjoy New Hope. As much as I was like, you know, Force Awakens felt like another Star Wars film, I think it had some better executions in there, in how it approached certain things. But even that being said, I think that's sort of what I liked about that comparison, because because I never actually saw the script until you put that video up there, which is interesting, and it you can see a lot of the kernels of what Looper would have been, or what Looper, you know, would be, and it's like, yeah, I can see where this world is and everything else. I don't need all this detail because you can just kind of show it on the screen. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to go into hyper detailed tech. While I enjoy that a lot, you know, as a world builder, as a guy that likes world building and have that done in certain things, like I enjoy that in video games and such. We don't have that much time in this world. And I think that's what's important to note about film versus a book versus a comic even, is that you don't have a heck of a whole lot of time to really explain this world. And so really concentrate on the things that truly matter, that being story, that being character, that being the things that me as a viewer can connect with quickly. You know, you want to hook your audience very, very quickly and get them on your side.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, because if you had Looper as written by George R. R. Martin,
yeah,
you'd have four pages on the intricate detail of the blunderbuss.
Right.
Whereas in the film, you could truncate that down to a 4-second close up of the blunderbuss as it's doing something.
Right. And if you take J.R.R. Tolkien, for example, you'd have that amount of pages just describing the city and sort of the scape that it's in and the land around it and everything else, explaining all these sort of histories and backstories as to how the city became, which you don't really need, you know, in a movie, not because it's not important. It's just you only have, at the very most, 3 hours. I say 3 hours being generous, because that would be like this slog of a film. Like, you'd have to really fucking engage me to have a 3-hour film. But 2 hours tops, and that's not a whole lot of time. In the grand scheme of things.
But luckily with film, you're dealing with a medium that has more efficient dispersal of information.
Yeah.
It deals in a much, much wider spectrum of, like, information bandwidth.
Yeah.
So you can convey way more with way less than with a book.
Right. Well, you can convey a lot more, again, visually. Show, don't tell. You can show, you know, the like to convey technology, very easy. Just show a plastic thing with a screen on there that looks like a phone.
Sure.
You know, it's like, that's one thing I always noticed about, you know, Looper was like, how do we convey her in the future? Show a flying car, whatever. You know, something that we don't have, something fantastical, something that's there. Like, you know, how do I convey, a drug? Show them use an eyedropper. You know, have the eye kind of dilate a bit, and that's it. You're done. You know, you don't have, you know, have them say, like, you know, maybe have say, I take something, whatever, if any, if you need to express it more. It's why, like, there's always the I think it's the final cut makes this more apparent, but even the director's cut of, like, Blade Runner, because the original theatrical cut had all the gritty noir, you know, cyber noir lines, like, what's a Blade Runner? Let me tell you, you know, with fucking
in the future.
No, seriously, if you like there's a Harrison Ford, it's the greatest one, because you can tell Harrison Ford even then didn't want to fucking do this, because it's like, what? Who am I? Ex Blade Runner, ex this. Like it even explains what the fuck city speak is, which is what what's his face, the guy that plays he's in Battlestar Galactica. What's his Edward James Olmos character? I forgot the character's name in the book, the movie. But he explains the dialogue he's speaking, which they explain it in commentary and stuff like that. But it's not really needed. It's not really fucking needed to do. But the director or the writer producer, one of the two people, however the fuck that project worked out, felt that they couldn't just throw us at audiences and expect them to get this. So they wanted to add this like silly dialogue over it, and if you watch the cut, and if you get the final cut of the film, either Blu-ray, DVD, or whatever, it has all the different the permutations. You know, it has the original theatrical cut, it has the director's cut, it has the European film cut, and of course the final cut.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between like the director's cut and the European cut are kind of it's really silly things like they get rid of the voiceover, and I think they also do the whole unicorn subplot, which I won't really go into because I don't want to spoil. Even though Blade Runner is such an older film, and I know I've probably gone in detail many times on this, but I don't really want to spoil it for anybody.
Sure.
Even with that, because it's again, one of those films that I, like, it is in my top 10 of all time. It might even be my number one. I didn't really think about that, but I'd be very confident saying it's my number one film of all time. Just because it had such an impact on me and such a fucking gorgeous, like, I could watch it now and like, this is a good damn movie. But yeah, it's such a funny thing when you think about those sort of production notes of like, you know, back then and now, that I'm just like, when I read the script loop, I was like, God, this is like, it's cool. It's a cool idea. But man, if he had filmed this back, you know, back then, it's like, this is rough.
It would have been a different thing.
Yeah. But kind of getting back to the production side of things, like knowing about those sort of stuff and kind of that being a thing. Like I always felt like that's what, you know, I know we're going, I'm looping back.
It's like an episode of Cinematography already.
we need to get back to doing that, by the way.
Yeah.
We need to watch the movies again.
Yeah.
What movie are you looking forward to that's coming out soon? Now that we have skipped, I've totally just stopped talking about production stuff.
That's a good idea. I don't know. What's coming out?
I was about to say the same thing. I really don't know. Like, I haven't, I'm kind of, I mean, because nothing this summer, I already saw the movie I really cared about was Zootopia. And I ended up going with you to see, and team to go see 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly don't know what's coming out this year that's like remotely catching my interest. I mean, I probably have to look. And I bet you there's something, but I don't know. I really have not. Nothing this summer has really caught me to watch desperately, I think.
Hmm.
I think that's a sign. I don't know. Is that how you feel too for summer? Has there been movies? I mean, beyond the movies you mentioned, Zootopia, my case, and you being 10 Cloverfield Lane. And not saying that I didn't enjoy it either. It's just, you know, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, I don't read too much into it because there's so much stuff that you miss that,
yeah,
it's like there's great films coming out all the time that you just don't realize are great.
Ips versus says Doctor Strange is soonish.
Doctor Strange would be cool. I saw the trailer for that.
I maybe I know why I'm not the case now. I have consciously started avoiding trailers.
Okay.
Only because, not because I don't know about movies coming out, like I know about Doctor Strange and you know about all these things that are in the pipeline. Oh, you figured it out. What movie?
It's called The Arrival.
I think I've heard of this, but
I only heard about it yesterday when the Draft House tweeted about the trailer. And it's basically like minor plot details coming forward. Like aliens show up and the trailer is all about like these grand vistas that they're showing and we have first contact and it's all about that experience or something. And so that I think comes out this year. Maybe. I don't actually know when it comes out, but that's something that I would be looking forward to.
Let's see. It's coming out only because every time this is what it comes down to is movies of the year, what's come out, what is coming out, because like I feel bad that I haven't gone to the movies in such a long time.
And
I've been wanting to go see a couple of things. Like I know I wanted to see a new Star Trek movie because I've heard some decent things about it. Like there's movies I want to watch, but I don't want to commit time in a theater to watch them.
Sure.
Like I want to see Suicide Squad, but I really don't want to pay to see Suicide Squad.
Mm.
Like we're talking about this in sort of shooting the shit before the Brant was eating some food and we're just shooting the shit. And I was mentioning that like there's certain films that I'm saving to watch on like a flight, and like Suicide Squad's one of those movies. I'm like, if I'm on a plane and it's there, and it's like, well, do I watch Office Space for the billionth time again, or do I watch Suicide Squad? Fine, Suicide Squad it is. Because I don't want to go into that movie coming out angry. Like, I've heard a lot of people have been angry about that. I heard a lot of people were angry about The Killing Joke, the animated version of that. But yeah, I've been pretty good. I also wanted to see Ghostbusters. I kind of wanted to see the new film. But not enough,
to see it.
Well, not enough to time to... it's like, I want to watch this, and I want to go check it out, but I know how much it's going to cost me, and I know that, like, do I want to go not waste the time, but, like, take that kind of gamble?
Yeah, I feel you. There's definitely a certain value proposition. I kind of felt the same way with Swiss Army Man or whatever.
I heard that was like, weird, like, in a good way.
Yeah, I was interested by that movie, and I kind of want to see it, but it didn't have enough of a draw on me to get me out of the house and into the theater.
There's another movie that came out too, a comedy that I've heard really good things about. But I can't remember. It was on the pod. There was the RT podcast mentioned Swiss Army Man, and it mentions. They mentioned this other film as well, and I was like, it was just funny.
Was
that
it The Raven or The Lobster?
I don't know, maybe.
It's the one about people turning into animals if they don't find true love?
Maybe? I don't know. I'll have to check. It's such a...
That was a weird one that came out just 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
So here's a movie I know that I'm not excited to see, and that everyone's wanting to see in this weird... thread, and I keep seeing it come up, and I think I should bring it up. Sausage Party.
Oh, I've seen
like clips of, like, that does not look appealing in any capacity. But like, I've been seeing a lot of like Double Toasted fans, like, we should go see Sausage Party for the thing, because it comes out this week.
To me, that just the title alone tells me that that's not my sense of humor.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Like, it already that Colin Farrell is going to be the lobster if he can't find love.
The lobster.
I may have to find out what movie they're talking about. I mean, I could look at the movies of that and figure it out, but it's not even worth my time.
Birdo,
kind of.
We're doing a thing here. You're over here on your phone. Oh, unprofessional.
Is that...
Unprofessional.
So that's another thing that gets brought up a lot in the RT podcast, and I feel we should talk about this, because you are constantly using your phone in a professional setting, in a professional way.
Yeah, and it looks super lame.
Let's explain the audience what I'm talking about.
So, like, after Scam School shoots, I have to open up our production doc, and I have to go, okay, so we filmed this episode, this is what happened in this episode, this is who was on the episode.
Yeah.
These are all of the cards that we used in this episode, just to keep track of everything.
Yeah, the notes.
Because nobody else is going to do it.
Right,
so.
Notes for editing, for things like that. Stuff that you should note, like, here's where all this footage is, here's where all the stuff's at, and more importantly, here are the things that, like, we got this, here are the graphics you might need, if anything, you know, production stuff, shit that you need to know, where you're like, fuck, what did I need for that episode? Let me watch, you know, so you're burning time watching all this fucking raw footage that could be anywhere from 30 minutes to, fuck, you know, there have been times where it's been like an hour, like 40-minute shoot for, like, again, a 15-minute video.
Yeah, so as soon as filming wraps, you just see me turn off the cameras and turn on my phone.
Yeah, you do a mental dump.
And then I'm just sitting there like...
But what is it about the phone now? Because, you know, if you think about this is just a damn computer with a damn internet link in the end of it all. There's nothing magic. I mean, it's a phone. Yeah, I could talk. But for the most part, it's a goddamn computer. Why is it that this is like the device, that this being the phone, that if I'm fucking doing something on it, it's like, oh, he's just fucking around his phone. You're not doing anything useful. When I know you're constantly, and every shoot, it's not even... And it's not like, oh, it's not every, like, no, every fucking shoot, you're doing a goddamn mental dump, a mind dump, the quickest thing. And that's why I tend not to bother you, because I'm like, I know he's fucking not, you know, documenting this shit and, like, writing down any notes that he had in his head, anything that Bryce had mentioned, that Schwartz had mentioned, that anyone had thought, like, that's something to note, you know, that dump it all quickly. Because if I don't do it now, I'm going to forget it.
Sure.
And that's the last thing you want to have, where, it, again, you're watching footage for, like, you know, you know, working up to the wire, like, fuck, what graphic did I need? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I need to do for this ad? You know, what was the, or anything else like that? And what is it about the phone that's like the unprofessional thing? Is it just because we've now been bred like that it has to be in front of a keyboard?
It's just become this cultural cornerstone of impersonality, right? Like we've all gone to see, oh, somebody's on their phone. That's like, that's an icon for they are detached from their environment.
Right.
Yeah. Even though there have definitely been some cases, I remember watching, there was like this conference or something.
Right.
With Hunger Games girl. That
girl. Someone will tell us the chat.
That lady. And then, you know, there are reporters like asking her questions and stuff. And this one reporter had his phone out and she like went off on him. She's like, put away your phone and like be engaged in this human interaction or whatever.
Right.
But the dude was like English as a second language and he was using his phone
to translate
and to get his questions.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence. And it's like, man, that's like a really lame consequence of this.
Well, that's what's interesting.
This perception.
Well, because I think that's important to stress is that we're now at a point now where, and I realized it only a couple. I mean, I always realize every time I use my phone, I forget how good the microphone is on the iOS on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the movie draft minutes I recorded, because it's common, it happens all the time with Night Attack. It's like, hey, we're recording Night Attack tomorrow morning at 12 p.m. and I'm like, I'm at work, I'm over, and she's like, fuck. I don't record it till the day of to get, you know, to get the most accurate number and, you know, timing. Right. And it's like, Matthew, are you going to be awake at 8 in the morning? No, I'm gonna be fucking sleeping like a sane person because I work, you know, I work a weird shift too. Or like you constantly working, you know, during the night hours and stuff like that. So I was like, well, fuck, I can record it now on my phone and, you know, thinking it's going to be garbage audio. And it's like, no, it's actually really good mic. Like, oh, fuck, I forget how good this sounds and how decent, you know, even in a weird environment doesn't – I mean, my microphone sounds way, way better, but
sure.
You know, if I had a split difference of, like, this or, like, an onboard camera mic, like the iPhone camera of your, like, microphone, you're, like, right up there, is really damn good. And there's a decent recording software that people tend to do, like, you know, hold like that. And, you know, even though we think of this little device as nothing more than to communicate text and whatever – it is a full-fledged computer, and now we're at a point where, you know, you're able to hook up to Google Docs on the fly and dump notes, or I'm able to write something down in Evernote really quickly, or that.
Ram a synthesizer.
Yeah, or program a synthesizer, or fuck, like, we're at a point where you can, they actually have a camera, it's kind of pricey, but it's, I think it's like a Mevo, where it's like this sort of Bluetooth, like, external camera that goes with Wi-Fi, whatever. Mm. It's like a 4K Sony camera thing that hooks up your phone and can use your phone as, like, a tether to stream. This, like, really high-quality thing. And you could actually, like, within the software, because it's 4K, you can kind of subdivide it because it can broadcast 720p or 1080 or whatever. And you could subdivide it into, like, you know, zoom in here, kind of make a sort of faux multicam sort of thing. And that's done on a phone, you know. Or you think of all the different, like, weird things like breathalyzers or you know, audio recorders. Like, there's, you know, I have a device that hooks up via lightning cable that lets me hook up two XLR mics into it, or my H6 hooks up to this thing and can record software, you know. So it's nothing more than a damn computer now, but we have this perception of it being that, even though, I mean, like, it's not uncommon for you and I to see, like, you know, at sort of random events or even at the bar, you know, there's like a food truck, to see some guy with a goddamn, like, you know, Square device that just, you know, or any kind of payment process device, just processing payments. That's being done on the iPhone. You know, there's nothing, sure. You know, there's no magic, you know, there's no, like, this mythical small device. Like, no, the fucking iPhone's a computer, does this shit,
mm-hmm.
You know, and yet we still have this perception that if I'm doing this, you know, and, you know, hitting buttons, even if I'm doing something actually meaningful, like jotting down what she's saying for an interview, or in the case of this guy, you know, just trying desperately to figure, you know, I only understand so much English, I want to get the meaning of this, you know, how can we, you know, I want to desperately communicate. It's just like, you know, I mean, when does that perception leave? You know, when do we, When do we figure out that middle ground where we know someone's doing something serious on a phone versus, you know, just bullshitting on Instagram? And
I mean, it'll take some time, but that's all part of the evolution of the technology. I mean, it's still very much in its infancy. You know, smartphones are still a really new thing.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, the first stage was wonderment, bewilderment. What is this thing? And then the second stage is the cynicism of, oh, you're just on that thing. You're just trapped into that item.
Because that was what's funny is, like, the first smartphones, because, I mean, the iPhone was the one that kind of broke the mold and got everyone into the smartphone world.
Right.
But, like, the first smartphones, I think the first one that I mean, there probably were ones before, but the one I remembered was, I think it was the Palm, I'd like to say it was a Palm 7. Like, it had an antenna, and you can get a cellular data plan for it, and you could, I think, make phone calls with it, and you could do other things with it as well. But because I was always that perception of, like, it would always be rude to be on a phone, you know, it'd always be rude to have your cell phone on a table. And I think my mother would even enforce it, but I think now, and it's not even out of rudeness, and I take no offense to it at all. You know, at times she's texting her friends or she's like, you know, like we're at dinner, for example, like, in with family. And because, you know, a lot of her friends know she's out of town in like Mexico or she just wants to share pictures with her friends, like, hey, I'm with my son, you know, that kind of thing, because she rarely sees me. You know, she'll take a picture, selfie, whatever, and, you know, tweet, you know, post her group chat on you know, iMessage, or she'll share it on WhatsApp with, you know, my family in Mexico, because it's cheaper than sending a text sometimes. And if I think about all that stuff, like, that's happening on the phone, and that, like, maybe about, what, not even, let's see, the iPhone came out in 2000... Let's see, it'd have to be like 2006, 7 maybe? Something, because I basically was out of college when the iPhone came out, and the first iPhone.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things.
Sure.
You know? And that's really, again, that was the phone I say that brought the smartphone to the masses in terms of like this thing. Because even though the Palm 5 and all the Palms that existed, no one really, I mean, business people used them, but none of, you know, Not you and I were on that, but, you know, like, I'm on an iPhone now, and you are, everyone else is, or an Android phone, or some type of equivalent of this phone that does more than just make calls. Like, even texting, during, like, the early days of phones, during the flip phones, whatever, that was like, oh my God, what's this text message thing?
Sure.
You know, and now, I mean, like, it's rare that I think I make a phone call.
I got a phone call earlier today from Afghanistan.
Why did you get a phone call from Afghanistan?
I don't know. I didn't answer.
Obviously.
I thought about it, though.
No, don't. That's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, I don't pick up the phone when somebody from Houston calls. So somebody from Afghanistan calls, I'm sure as hell not going to answer. I don't know what's happening, but it was crazy.
Somebody in the chat room says, was a BlackBerry a smartphone? Yes, it was, because you could make phone calls, send text message. I've had many. My cousin... For the longest time, my uncle, sure, but my cousin for the longest time stayed on a BlackBerry because her business required it, and she was always like, I just want to use an iPhone. In fact, her personal phone was an iPhone, and she always hated using her BlackBerry. They've since switched to something else. I think they switched to iPhone or Android. I can't remember exactly. But she could not stand it. She was just like, eh. And it's a sad state of affairs for BlackBerry, but that's neither here nor there. Really? But yeah, no, I've never gotten an international call, yet over the phone. What's the problem is with me now is because I'm, you know, going on this trip pretty soon. I don't think anyone's gonna have to call me from, you know, Japan. But I wonder what'll happen if they do. If they have to check on my, you know, like, hi, we're shipping your data card to, you know, to Narita right now, or hey, we just want to double check with certain things. Like, no one's had to call me yet, thankfully. But I don't know what's going to happen if that's the case. Like, will I miss this like very important phone call from Tokyo or Osaka, just double checking on my reservation or something, or I don't think it's going to happen, thankfully.
It's really cool to see all those, country codes and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is so exotic.
See, I've gotten used to at least some of them because, I've had cousins call. I've had, my uncle call me my birthday. Mm. Like, my Uncle Pepe over there in Puebla, he will typically call me for my birthday and my Aunt Cecilia as well. Or my Tia Cecilia as well, I should say. Or my aunt, whatever you want to call it. And my cousin sometimes too, depending on who's there and who's around. But so I'll at least get 1 to 2 international calls a year, just for my birthday or Christmas. But they're very few and far between, and usually they're very short. Not because, only because now my uncle and that have now gotten used to Skype or Facebook or stuff like that, and they don't have to call me. Like a phone, they can, just fucking Skype me, and it's just exactly the same thing, if not better.
Yeah.
Like, we've been in vacation and Skype my grandmother in the States while she's there and saying hi over voice phone. Like, we were in for a wedding in Mexico, and my parents and everyone else with us got together with one of their cousins who I hadn't seen in a long time, and we ended up calling my Avlita, my mother's mom. And it was a great thing because one of my mother's mom's old friends and sort of the relatives of that and all that kind of thing between was there as well. And so it was they got to talk and kind of see each other. They hadn't seen each other for the longest time since maybe a couple of years or so. So it's it was cool to have that weird gateway of here's a video phone, thing. And, it was, it's the future as people sure. typically say.
I still get a tremendous amount of anxiety from phone calls, so the only people I talk to on the phone are my parents.
Ash Jarrett says you'll only be there for nine days. If you were there longer, I was just getting a short plan phone. No, I wasn't. Yeah, I'm not going to. But just again, it's more of the idea of because like you, I ignore numbers I don't recognize. From wherever.
I ignore some numbers that I do recognize.
That's why you didn't answer my call. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't call you. I'll just see you over Slack. It's just, again, that's just it's quicker to hit you over Slack than it is to call you. It's funny. I think I'm at least on 2 Slacks with you now, where I could contact you on. I may start switch. One of these days, maybe I'll have a message bounce between Slacks.
Mm.
Maybe that's what I should do. Talk to you over one Slack. And you respond, but then I respond back from the other. No, you're already shaking your head. You're already saying this is a bad idea.
For archival purposes.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I don't want to have to search between
that's
two.
That's okay. You legitimate response. Yeah. That's legitimate response. As silly of a gag that would be, that's legitimate, honest to God response for archival purposes. As cool of a joke that would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not do that for the sake of history, so that way you can look back and go oh, that's what he's talking about, even if it was utter and total bullshit.
Sure.
But I don't answer those calls because, again, they're either robot calls or just some fucking wrong number or whatever. So, and I know I would definitely not wreck if I saw an international number, and even if I see my uncle's number and international number, because I don't have it saved as that. I don't have it saved at all because, again, whenever I have to call my uncle, it's usually with family. Not because I don't like my uncle. I do. It's just I'll post on Facebook, think, hey, how's it going? Or awesome, thank you so much. That kind of thing. So it's never not impersonal. Just it's a freaking international call. And as much as it's, there's cheap ways to do it, and it's all fucking bits in the end of it all.
Mm-hmm.
The phone company just loves to, charge you for those sort of things. And they love to make any excuse to charge you for whatever minutes you have. Even though I think it's gotten better with Mexico calls and plans, but they still would love to do anything with that. I'm always afraid. I'm always afraid because I don't know. I know we have plans for that because my mother has them, but I never know what plan we have. Mm. And even then, because I don't recognize this, I don't recognize this Houston number. What's with all the stars and ones and nines and eights here?
The caller ID was just Afghanistan.
Oh, did that
so
what
I
was
like, oh God, Afghanistan is calling me today.
Oh, that's what it was. See, mine's not even that adept. It's not Afghanistan is calling. It's just it's a bunch of garbled numbers, and it's not even an area code. I'm shit, this is an international call. I don't know who it is. I'm gonna let it ring. if it's something important, you know, it's not my birthday today.
God, I was hoping so much that they'd leave me a voicemail. I was so excited for a voicemail from Afghanistan. I was so excited, especially since I've got like a weird voicemail message.
Right.
And
yeah, you got have you played that before in the air?
Maybe.
Do you want me to play it really quick?
Sure.
Let's have some fun. Let's call Brand Hughes.
He's good one. One of these days, I gotta update it.
It's such a great one in my opinion. So all right, yeah. we're gonna
do this really quick. I should probably deny you so that way it goes through faster.
Yeah. No, put that down, Jeffrey. We don't need you breaking another diamond bus. Oh, I didn't quite hear you calling. I do apologize, though, but. Frankly, I was doing important things. I'll let the help listen to what you have to say, but give him the abridged version, if you will.
Not the tone.
And there we go.
That's pretty good.
It's a silly one. Like, mine's very simple. Mine's like, hi, I'm from Vegas. And I'm right now, you know.
I don't even think I say my name. And then...
No, you don't. You don't even say your name. You don't even tell who you are. You're just like, sit down, Jeffrey. Stop breaking all this rich people stuff. Oh, hello there. I did not see you.
Oh,
like,
I'm sorry.
You know, maybe I should, if I were to make a silly one, maybe I would make it in like the vein of Mist, like when you meet Atris for the first time. He's like, who the devil are you? Oh, don't come to Dunny, not yet. You know, it's a book scene. You know, maybe I should do something like that, because I've always thought of making a silly one. But then at the same time, there is that fear that somebody like someone's gonna call me for a job or my boss is gonna call me.
This is such an unprofessional voicemail
message.
Right,
exactly. And as you know, or heaven forbid, it's like, hi, it's you know, something you know, heaven forbid, you know, knock on wood, something awful's happened, and you know, the EMS tech has to hear this like really lame fucking message, and have to explain like something horrible's happened in life. Or you know, or someone has me as their emergency contact, and again, heaven forbid that happens. It's just like they had to hear this bullshit message, as they're like fuck, I'm taking care of like eight shot victims back there, and I have to hear some fucking asshole.
Yo, but like on some real talk, if you're in like a high pressure situation, you know that's like the best case scenario where you call somebody up and you get this goofy ass voicemail message. Like, that's a little ray of sunlight in a dark day.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Because you call somebody, you don't expect that.
Right.
You definitely expect just like a leave a message at the beep. This is bleep. And then...
How the fuck do you turn the thing off?
where's the stop button?
Where's the goddamn stop button?
But, yeah, to get, like, something that somebody put effort into and is goofy, like, I think that...
Well, I think maybe that's what it is. Like, I don't have an idea... Like, yours is brilliant. I don't have an equivalent idea of that level. Yeah. I haven't quite hit the thing of, like, what my equivalent is. Every one of the other ones, I always feel, are lame.
Mm.
Like, I always feel like the... like I had a friend of mine that had for like the longest time. I think it was one of my friends. I can't remember who had it. Had a message like. I think it was where the message was. It was like, "Hey, how's it going?"
The false start.
Yeah, the false start. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I gotta go, man. Click. and we just that and I had a friend of mine that never went beyond that point and would hear the after the tone or whatever.
Right.
And he thought his friend was like really ignoring him. And he's like, no, Eric, listen to me. Eric, I think Eric was friend. And he got to the point where he got the beep. And he's like, oh, this is all mess. This is all a phone call. And the thing is, I don't want to have that happen.
Yeah.
Where someone's trying to really desperately leave a message for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't know the joke. Is talking to me and just like, well, fuck him, man. Click. I'm not saving his friend anymore. Let him bleed. You know, I don't want to have that happen. I don't want that on me yet. I don't have that level of confidence. But if it's like yours, at least it's silly. It's like, well, this is obviously a message. This is there's music in the background. Yeah. There's this whole bullshit going on.
There's a lore behind this voicemail message.
Right, exactly. There's something going down. Like this, either A, this man truly has like way more money than not, and that I'm calling, you know, and doesn't really need my, you know, Pepsi ad gig anymore or whatever Hughes production will be doing.
No job is too low.
No job is too low.
I'm really bummed though that they don't let you upload.
Coming soon, Paul Blart Mall Cop 5, directed by Brandy Hughes. God,
okay, there are some jobs that are too low. But yeah, I'm so bummed that they don't let you upload MP3s or anything.
Yeah,
you just have to like hold it up to the speaker.
Yeah, you have to do some bullshit thing because like again, it's these are weird stuff because if I have tried to figure out that idea of what it is that I can do. Like I do want to figure out the silly one. But I can't figure out the idea enough. I'm like, this is good. This is great. This will still sound professional. Or it'll still sound like a message. Because that's what my fear is. I don't want to do anything that doesn't sound like a message. So that way someone goes, oh, that's a funny gag. Ha ha. And then leave a message. But like not the, well, fuck this, click. This guy is not getting that job anymore. Mm. You know? Like I can only imagine like the people that had the, that haven't updated their message, like their voicemail thing. Or, you know, that kind of stuff. And you know they've changed, they've adapted, they're going into the business world, whatever, and you know they're professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And you call their phone, it's like, "Yo, what's up? This is you know,
Chuck,
yeah, that kind of shit. Yo, this is B Dog, I'll be smoking a fat blunt, leave a message at the
420.
Beep, yeah, the beep, boom. You know, bam, whatever fucking bullshit thing they say, and like that's the
and you could just like. Hear the visor on their head.
Yes, exactly. They're just like, that's a job lost. That's a because again, they don't recognize the number. They're just like, I don't know what the hell's calling. Click. Oh shit! And they remember that their message is whatever, and it could have been the guy. It could have been like the job that they'd really tried to go for, as they're like working at McDonald's and like hoping to God they use their college degree. Well, that's it. We've hit the hour mark, Brandt. We've recorded for a good chunk of time.
Mm.
Any final thoughts you'd like to leave with the audience as we talk about?
Yeah.
Update your messages, people.
Exercise.
Exercise?
I've been doing a lot of night walks lately, and it's great.
On your own? Or,
yeah.
Or, I will ask the following.
Yeah.
And you will not answer now. You will answer in the post show.
All right.
That the live audience can hear, but only patrons will be able to hear after this recording.
Ooh,
so if you're
exclusive.
Not watching this late, you're not watching this live, and you want to get on this, you get over to patreon.com/8bitlife and kick it some money. But before we do go, where can people find you online, sir?
You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/gatowag. That's GATOWAG. You could also just, you can find me on Instagram. I'm doing that thing. Same username. Twitch, same username. Wherever you like to hang out on the internet, I've probably got a placeholder account there. Same username.
And you can catch his monthly thoughts on all the things Bizarre Magic Inc. and production like that on that side there at youtube.com/... Do you guys have a...
Scam stuff.
Okay. It's scam stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, we set up that URL a long time ago.
Yeah.
And also watch Modern Rogue.
Yes, that too. Although I don't think that, as much as you need to say that, I don't think it needs to be said because that thing is blowing up.
It's pretty good.
It's explodoed. That's the technical term. And of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitter. So if you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, previous episodes, and the Twitter account, which is at 8bitlife podcast. And of course, you want to catch me and Brandt talk about stuff. We're going to, one day they film a new one soon. You get to youtube.com/cinematography where we talk film and stuff. And you can catch the aforementioned video of Brandt breaking down
the loop analysis,
which I thought turned out really, really well.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah. Well worth it.
Also, BrantHughes.com.
And that's it for today. So, see you next time. I'm talking about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
Later.
Yeah. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.